The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Tuesday 4 o'clock happy hour. It rolls on with Matt Rothschild, my fine co-devil. No phone calls today. I didn't get it wrong. But you can text us at 844-967-2789. We'll wait till the end and try to address some of your text all at once. Matt, I wanted to talk about an issue. Madison Cawthorn, he is a congressman from North Carolina. In his state, they are trying to block him for qualifying for the ballot because of his support for the insurrection on January 6th. And that action actually moved forward today. A new motion was filed Tuesday with the North Carolina State Board of Elections, asserting that it has the power to disqualify Madison Cawthorn for running for office if he aided the insurrection. Via Slate's Mark Joseph Stern, he is the original reporter on this, North Carolina State Board of Elections chairman, Damon Sircosta, argued in the filing the board's power to disqualify candidates within the state is constitutionally protected in policing candidate qualifications pursuant to its constitutionally delegated election duties. However, the state does not run afoul of Article 1, Section 5. The state does not judge the qualifications of the elected members of the U.S. House. It polices candidate qualifications prior to the elections. States have long enforced age and residency requirements without question and with very few, if any, legal challenges. The state has the same authority to police which candidates should or should not be qualified per Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Now, Matt, I've been a little dismissive of these 14th Amendment efforts, and I understand there's something brewing here in the state of Wisconsin, and they might be targeting Scott Fitzgerald. Now, there could be some pretty direct, straight-line evidence that Scott Fitzgerald aided and abetted at least the false slate of electors here in the state of Wisconsin. He got him the room at the Capitol, and it was a locked building, and it was during a pandemic. I know I got a citation the same week. So here's my question, Matt. If Scott Fitzgerald can be demonstrated to have played a part in the insurrection, do you see the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution as a viable means of blocking this guy from re-election?
Well, it's possible. Let's look at Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. It says that states, no one can hold office if they've taken an oath to support the Constitution and then engaged in insurrection. So you'd have to prove that he engaged in insurrection. But I want to see the January 6th committee look into the fact of how these false electors in Wisconsin got to get in that building. I wish Attorney General Call would take a quick look at that. I mean, he's got to know that these guys were committing fraud under Wisconsin statute, at least allegedly. Let's indict them and let's get to the bottom of that, and then let's see what Scott Fitzgerald did. And if it can be demonstrated that he was engaging in insurrection, I think there's a lot of evidence that he certainly was playing footsie with all the coup makers. And I think he should be held to account.
Well, there are 147 Republicans in the Congress, sitting members, that objected to the Electoral College, that objected to the election of Joe Biden, despite the fact Joe Biden obviously had 81 million votes, and he won the Electoral College. But they still objected. So, you know, there might be various levels of complicity, but when you get the room for the false electors, when you go reserve the space for them, and you apparently let them into a locked capital, or you direct staff to do so because they didn't do it of their own accord. Well, I'd say, you know, you've got a little something on your hands there.
Yeah, and I don't think he can, give any answer about he didn't know what was going on. I mean, the people he let in, one was the head of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. The other guy was Bob Spindell at the Wisconsin Elections Commission. I think he was, you know, definitely was a Republican appointee. He may have been Fitzgerald's own appointee there. So he knew who he was letting into the room. And you're going to tell me he didn't know what they were going to do in that room? Come on now.
Okay, so they cast these false votes, and they signed off on fraudulent documentation. And that was after the Wisconsin Supreme Court had ruled, very same day.
That morning.
Like an hour prior, the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled by 4-3 that Trump had no legal options. All paths had been exhausted. And yet they still went forward. And above and beyond that, the U.S. Supreme Court, even if you say, well, the Supreme Court still could have overturned the state Supreme Court, and they decided not to take up the case. But they turned around and they still mailed those documents to the National Archive after the U.S. Supreme Court had ruled. So even if they rushed a judgment in some way, shape, or form, even if they thought they were keeping some legal channel open, they had all been exhausted before they mailed it, before they put it in a mail. And once you use the federal mails, doesn't that create a whole different crime?
Well, it's fraud by Wisconsin statute to claim that you're the legitimate elector when you're not, and then you put it in the mail, then you got federal mail fraud problems on your hands.
Now, Dana Nessel, the Attorney General of Michigan, she referred off to the Department of Justice, and we know Lisa Monaco at the DOJ acknowledged at least investigations had been opened. And I get the whole multi-jurisdictional thing because, and Rachel Maddow's been kind of on point on this story, it wasn't just the Wisconsin false electors. They used effectively the same or very similar documents. It was an ongoing conspiracy that covered multiple jurisdictions. And it's probably better prosecuted by the Department of Justice. But Dana Nessel said specifically that she thought Michigan laws had been broken and that, you know, she could prosecute under Michigan law. And I would say AG Josh Call here in the state of Wisconsin, same could be said of our state. So, you know, maybe a little cover with the whole multi-jurisdictional thing, but roll out the indictment, sir.
Yeah. Attorney General Josh Call has an obligation to indict these false electors under fraud statute. Just look up fraud in the Wisconsin statutes on Google and you'll see that these guys, looks like these guys committed a crime. Let's indict them and see if you can prove it.
Why hesitate? If you're Josh Call, and I know he's on the ballot this fall, I know he's running for re-election. And I mean, he's not being primaried. No one from the left's got any big issues with Josh Call, other than maybe, you know, his lack of urgency on prosecuting these false electors. But why not? I mean, you know, even if you think it's political, it's good politics. Why not?
Yeah, and, you know, maybe he's doing the political calculations and thinks he'll alienate some moderate voters. But leaving the politics aside, he's got a legal obligation. He's got a moral obligation. He's got a historical obligation to defend our electoral process here from imposters, from fraudsters who are, you know, just pretending that they were the legitimate electors to the Electoral College from Wisconsin when they weren't. And if that's not a crime, and if that's not going to be indicted and prosecuted, you know, why do we even have that statute? And it's not like they were committing a little fraud or, you know, something minor to, you know, their banker or their insurance company or something. This was a huge political crime. This was a crime against our democracy.
Are you kidding me, man? I've been signing federal documents swearing and asserting the truthfulness of the documents I have signed. I borrowed money utilizing SBA lending. You're signing your life away and you're guaranteeing every I is dotted and T is crossed under, you know, under threat of perjury and imprisonment. So, you know, that seems like a thin gruel sort of excuse. Anyone that's ever signed a mortgage document knows you cannot sign under false pretense. You're committing a crime. So why would that standard not be held when you're committing a political crime? You're not robbing someone, but you're trying to steal democracy away. At least that's my interpretation.
Yeah, you're you know, robbing us of our freedom to vote. You know, you can't get a much worse political crime in this country than that. And to have it go unindicted and unprosecuted, I think would just be appalling here in Wisconsin. And for Merrick Garland, even more appalling for the U.S. Attorney General. But we've got statutes here on the books here in Wisconsin that can be thrown at these false electors. Let's hit them in the face with these law books.
So, Matt, you know, read the tea leaves, man. Prognosticate. You know, Super Bowl's coming up. Let's lay some wagers here. Do you think anyone actually has the courage to prosecute the former president? I mean, we see Benny Thompson on the January 6th Select Committee. He said, you know, if criminal prosecutions are merited against the former, we'll definitely make the referrals. But they don't have the power of prosecution. That's got to come from the DOJ. And I'm wondering, you know, I'd like to have some faith in Merrick Garland. I'd like to celebrate Merrick Garland Day all across America the day the Trump indictment rolls down. Well, that, of course, will just be the beginning of a long legal process. But it all starts with an indictment, man. And until we get that, I see this new polling that says people don't believe, or we've seen a reduction in those that believe that Trump's responsible. And it's a 10% reduction in Republicans, but it's an 11% reduction in Democrats.
Which is crazy.
I don't know how we move on until we hold someone accountable.
Yeah. And I don't care what the polls say. He's got to be indicted. How much more evidence do you need than just find me 11,780 votes? I mean, that's election tampering. And I think the prosecutor in Georgia is going to indict him on that. But Merrick Garland's got to indict him on, a seditious conspiracy.
Well, you can point to any elected, like the Fulton County DA or even the New York AG or DA. They have parallel cases, one against the Trump org and apparently one investigating Trump and the frauds more specifically. But any of those state courts, any of those state prosecutors that level charges are going to be accused of trying to, burnish their political stars. It's all politics. And Trump's going to claim that no matter what. But if it comes from the DOJ, Merrick Garland is not an elected. He's a lifer. And that may not change the attitudes on righty-whitey talk radio universe.
Yeah, they're going to say the same thing no matter what.
But the Mitch McConnells of the world, the institutionalists are going to have a hard time tearing down the Attorney General of the United States. But they'll try.
I don't know. I don't know how Mitch sleeps at night anyway. But look, it's got to be done, Merrick Garland.
In a coffin, I suspect.
under a rock somewhere. But Mitch McConnell, him and Lindsey Graham, I mean, they got a lot to account for every day they look at themselves in the mirror.
Now, have you seen this recent ploy by Republicans like Nikki Haley? The RNC censure of Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney, obviously it's created some ripples in the news cycle. And either you're kind of for the truth or you're against getting to the truth. And it shouldn't be shocking to me that Republicans are against this truth. Outing this truth will out this party. But effectively, they have sided with insurrection and they've sided with whitewashing. And they effectively, and the Nikki Haley's of the world take the attitude, to investigate Republicans, that's short-sighted politically because we're in an election year. And I'm thinking, have you no morals? Have you no compass? But apparently she does not, Matt.
No, they don't. And for the Republican National Committee to call January 6th legitimate political discourse was just about the rock bottom. There is no bottom of the barrel, evidently, but this has got to be very close to the rock bottom. And it's a litmus test for who you are in the Republican Party. Are you for the violence in January 6th? Are you for people taking American flags and spearing police officers with the American flags? Are you against that? That should be a pretty simple question.
Ron Johnson was asked that question and took no attitude. My understanding, the censures of Kinzinger and Liz Cheney, that's beneath him. He's a U.S. senator. They're just House members, apparently, Matt.
Ron hasn't had a great week. I mean, Ron doesn't want jobs in Oshkosh, even, for God's sake.
Now, let's talk about that issue for just a moment. Well, it's, got our attention. Oshkosh Corporation is what? Threatening to move jobs out of state, like 1,000 jobs. And here in the state of Wisconsin, if you believe manufacturers, they can't find qualified workers, not for what they want to pay, but we do have a 2.8% unemployment rate. And we did see Foxconn. I mean, Ron Johnson was on the wrong side of Foxconn, like Scott Walker and Rebecca Clayfish and the whole Republican team. But now maybe they've learned a lesson. Maybe we don't need to incentivize and buy jobs that never actually materialize. But it seems like a poorly chosen political position. I'll let him leave.
Yeah, I mean, he just seems so out of touch, both on that and then on, don't have kids unless you can afford them.
Well, it's not society's job to raise your kids, man, Rothschild. How about mine? Can they raise my kids? Because, some days they get a little old. I just had a kid get into college this weekend.
Congratulations.
Edgewood.
There you go. Staying here. That'll cost you a pretty penny.
It will. It will. So let's take a commercial break, try to sell some ads and pay for some tuition because, first tuition payment's coming due on March 1st, man. They want it right away. They want your commitment. I want your commitment. Come back with us. We'll read your text if you text it. Not yours, George, but everybody else. There's a possibility. Text them in at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back with Matt Rothschild.
I learned it by watching you.